The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, yes. I was amused to read that our environmental minister, Gila Gamliel, has decided that the oil spill that we are suffering along the shores of Israel are what she has called environmental terrorism. And she's got this theory that this is a spill that's been conducted on purpose with Iranian backing, which I think is an interesting theory. Apparently, she thinks that the tar that spilt up on Israel's beaches might have come from a Libyan tanker that had just previously docked in Iran. And she thinks that this might be part of a strategy on the part of the Iranian government to cause damage to Israel. Other members of the Israeli government not so sure about this. But it's I'm not quite sure. Is it a conspiracy theory or
it's a hell of a statement, isn't it? I mean, it's for a government minister to say something like that is quite bold and potentially dangerous.
I just wonder on what basis it's being said. But anyway, interesting one. As I said, the government doesn't seem to be at one on this issue. There are various statements coming out contradicting her accusation. So it doesn't seem to be a clear-cut view that is being formulated by the government. It seems to be her personal view, not quite sure what the basis of her view is, but it's an interesting one nonetheless.
Yeah. Let's talk about the International Criminal Court, of course, because that's a big story. The chief prosecutor has, in The Hague, has now formally opened an investigation into possible war crimes committed by Israel and Hamas. What's the reaction been?
So we had this discussion yesterday. I had no idea when we spoke yesterday about the potential protection that Benny Gantz was talking about offering to various Israelis who might be in the spotlight. I had no idea that later the same day, Fatou Bensouda, the International Criminal Court chief prosecutor, would announce that she's opening a full war crimes probe against Israel and Hamas. My reaction is to say that the investigation is against Israel and against Hamas in the same sentence is just almost like a joke, because you can't find two more different situations, two more different modus operandi of the groups that are apparently being investigated as part of the same investigation. On the one hand, we have Hamas, who have no issue in firing rockets randomly towards Israeli residential areas without any control over where they land, but in the hope that they might land in a built-up area somewhere where citizens of Israel are going about their daily lives. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, we have the IDF, who have such pinpoint accuracy in the missiles that they send that they go directly to the heart of only military-based targets, and that the pilots who fly these planes, who have the responsibility to drop these missiles, have their own independent view to take and their own independent decision to make about whether they decide to push the button or not. And they can pull out of any operation of their own accord without having to answer to anybody if they feel that civilians might be endangered in any way. So those are the two different groups that we are now apparently investigating in the same investigation. Apparently, these investigations are going to focus on events post 2014, during the time of the Operation Protective Edge, and also will focus on the Gaza border crisis in 2018 when we had these protests along the Gaza border week after week after week. It went on for quite some time. The reaction has been, I suppose, somewhat predictable from the Israeli government. Prime Minister Netanyahu coming out with a very, very strongly worded statement with this, expressing how incredulous this whole investigation is, and then reinforcing how Israel supports the soldiers who might have been involved in those operations, how heroic they were in order to go in against all danger, in order to protect the state of Israel and to protect the continued existence of the state of Israel, because we know that those people who continue to attack particularly from Gaza, but from elsewhere as well, would really like to see the destruction of the state. And that's what our army is all about in order to protect us. So a lot of reinforcement. Interestingly, also, the Biden administration from the U.S. has come out very much supportive of Israel, saying that the U.S. stands with Israel and that the International Criminal Court lacks jurisdiction to hold an investigation of the sort. And we remember that earlier this year.
That was the finding, that they did.
Yeah, the judges of the International Criminal Court decided that the state of Palestine, which is really not a state in the international community, but does have standing apparently in the International Criminal Court under the Rome Statute, that the state of Palestine has the right in the International Criminal Court to lodge this particular request to hold an investigation. And now we see Fatou Bensouda deciding that she is going to do that. It was interesting that a lot of people thought that she might well leave this to her successor, but apparently that's not the case. And one wonders whether she is somehow trying to influence the agenda that her successor, Karim Khan, will follow when he eventually takes office later this year, because it seems unlikely that she's going to be able to finish the job before she finish this investigation, before she completes her term in office as the International Criminal Court Chief Prosecutor. So I'm a little confused by all of this. Clearly, members of the Israeli government also are very much against and very much opposed to any sort of investigation. And it seems that there is quite strong support from some of the most influential countries around the world, not least of which the USA, saying that this is really a crazy idea. And also, I mean, we always like to throw this into the mix, but it is, it has a lot of value, a lot of truth to the question, which is, why is Israel being investigated for war crimes when trying to protect herself against those who attack her in order to try to destroy her, when there are so many other issues going on around the world, taking place, countries committing all kinds of atrocities which are not the subject of investigation at the International Criminal Court. And it does make one wonder what the purpose of this International Criminal Court really is and whether it's fulfilling its main purpose in life.
Yeah, well, what's sad for me is the Israel issue aside, is that the ICC is discrediting itself. And if it goes along, if it allows itself to be led down this path, it's going to go the way of the UN Human Rights Council, which is, of course, a completely ineffective, and it's become an ironic joke, really. And the concern here is that it is effectively a sabotage if it allows itself to go this route of the ICC. It loses credibility completely and allows itself to become just a political tool. That is a huge, huge concern, because it renders itself useless.
Well, one wonders what sort of standing the International Criminal Court has if it loses the support of so many of the key countries which really are required to support it in order to give it the legal standing and the recognition that it needs. And I agree with you that it does render itself useless. But the sad part is that it really does have a proper role to play, and it really does have a job to do in the world. And it seems as if, though, because it's taking a sidetrack of trying to investigate Israel in the case of this particular issue, that it could be doing other things, perhaps more important, perhaps things that it really should be doing, that it was really set up to do. So this is all quite concerning, not only from the Israeli point of view, but also from the point of view of justice around the world, because this International Criminal Court was really all about that, trying to make sure that something like the Shoah doesn't happen again, and that people who behave in an inappropriate way without justification are held to account. And I don't think that Israel really falls into that category at all. I mean, you know, the old adage really does apply, which is that, you know, if Hamas would lay down its weapons and lay down its arms, there would be peace. And there would not be war, as people like to say, rather than there would be peace. If Hamas laid down its arms, there would not be war. And if the IDF laid down its arms, there would not be Israel. So those are really the two contrasting situations that we find ourselves in. And it seems to me just absolutely unbelievable that we could be subject to a war crimes probe where both apparently Hamas and Israel will be investigated, but we clearly understand where the focus of this investigation will fall.
Yeah, very, very concerning indeed. Taking a look at some of the other stories, the Attorney General has set out the process for donating vaccines to other countries. What is the process, Anthony?
Well, this has become a highly controversial issue. Israel has donated apparently 22,000 doses of the Moderna vaccine against coronavirus. Apparently 5,000 doses were given to the Palestinian Authority, 5,000 to Guatemala and to Honduras and to the Czech Republic, and another 2,000 to Rwanda. That is apparently what we know about, at least, that has been released for publication. We also understand that a number of other countries are also potentially on the list to receive vaccine from Israel as part of Israel's attempts to somehow create friendliness around the world and to try to somehow progress its diplomatic relations with various countries. The list of countries is an interesting list, which includes Chad, Ethiopia, Equatorial Guinea, Kenya, the Maldives, San Marino, Uganda, Cyprus, Hungary, and Mauritania, with which Israel doesn't even have diplomatic relations. So all of those countries are apparently on the list for receiving donations. And there are a few particular issues that the Attorney General has addressed in his opinion, which has been a five-page opinion that he has published about this, because he was asked to rule on this matter by members of the government and by members of the opposition, who feel that the Prime Minister has been a little bit too free and easy in donating these vaccines to other countries, when, of course, Israel needs to make sure that she has enough that we have enough vaccine to cover all of our citizens. And the Prime Minister has said that the problem is that we've received these vaccines not only from Pfizer, which most Israelis are receiving now, but also from Moderna, and they have a certain shelf life. And when we get beyond that shelf life and they go into a situation where they might have to be thrown away, that the Israeli government would prefer to use them to foster better diplomatic relations, better international relations with countries around the world who are desperate to receive these vaccines and who would gladly use them up before the shelf life expires. That's the position that's being adopted by the Prime Minister's office. And in fact, it's interesting that the National Security Advisor, Meir Ben-Shabbat, had asked the Attorney General for his opinion. Apparently, there was even a petition to the High Court of Justice against the donations by the Prime Minister. So when the Attorney General published his view on this, he said that the Prime Minister by himself really doesn't have the right to decide to whom he donates these vaccines. And really, this needs to be something that's decided upon by a ministerial committee, including the Ministry of Health, including the Ministry of Finance, including the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, including the national security advisors, in order to determine who the right people are to receive these vaccines, if at all, and how they're donated. So, I mean, we've already discussed the fact that vaccines are now the currency that's being used around the world. And it's interesting that it's being used to foster diplomatic relations between countries, and that the Attorney General has to spend his time deciding how it should be ruled, how it should be decided.
Incredible that who gets the vaccine. That Israel's even in that position. Anthony, I don't want to let you go before this. We've got 1 minute left, but it's such a great story. Israel Sheba Hospital is named on the list of top 10 hospitals in the world for a third year running. What is it about the Sheba Hospital that ranks so highly?
Well, Sheba Hospital is a massive campus. It includes actually three hospitals, and it includes research facilities and 159 medical departments and clinics. It's located in Tel HaShomer, very, very near to a major military base as well, in central Israel. But I think it's really not only about the type of service and the top-notch nursing care and the very, very distinguished doctors and physicians who all treat patients at the hospital, but it's really all about the research and the amazing approach that is taken to medicine in terms of trying out new treatments and in being willing to really be at the forefront of medicine and medical research. So I think that's really what it is about Sheba. Of course, there were 2,000 hospitals named in this list, covering 25 countries. The top three hospitals all in the United States. Sheba, number 10 on the list this year, even though last year they were number 9, but I still think it's a great achievement for our hospital.
Absolutely right. Really, really wonderful. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Thank you for a fantastic week of reporting from Israel. We will catch you on Monday morning. Hope you have a fantastic weekend and Shabbat Shalom.